paid a bean bomb.
First thing recorded. Congratulations.
We'll see how it goes later.
Kayla, I have a very important question for you.
Okay.
Where'd you buy that outfit?
I don't know at this point. I don't remember.
That was so weird.
Oh my god.
It was really weird.
Take your dress off and give it to me right now.
Did she say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, she wanted to switch dresses with me.
I think she wanted more than that.
And then she came over and she started harassing Angel and Jesse. And she hit Angel. Like, she smacked him on the arm. She called him an asshole. She was so drunk. She was so drunk. Like, how are you still functioning?
I guess she had to get that drunk to maintain the story that she was there with her boyfriend's
her
boss.
Her boyfriend's boss.
I forgot that part.
Yeah. When she was trying to stick her tongue down his throat.
It was a hot mess.
That was fucked up. Other than that, the party was really good. I mean, even that really didn't spoil anything. It was just...
It was an amusing distraction.
It was just weird when some random guy comes up and talks to you and I'm holding the pool cue like, should I hit this guy? Like, what is happening right now?
What's the protocol here?
Do I have to wait for things to get weirder? Also, week 2 of Pokemon Go.
Yeah, so what's our Pokemon count? Now,
My Pokedex.
Because you're like at like 14 days and a few hours now, right?
I'm.
Oh, he's so cute.
My Pokedex is at 93 caught.
Out of 150,
Or 151. I'm not sure if Mew is in here, and I'm level 22 right now. So,
you know the Pikachu hat that I said I had. Apparently, Ronan. I haven't tried to clean it yet. I'm hoping I can.
I'm trying to, my main struggle is, I'm Team Mystic, and my office is, like, all fucking Team Valor. So holding the gym by my office is pain. But I do work on a Pokestop, which is really nice. But, sometimes I go to parks and then Pokemon Go doesn't work. So then I'm at a park for no reason.
Oh, wow, this is really lemony.
And Adam isn't here because he has something growing in his throat.
Yes, he mentioned it's had to hit the,
I blame the mystery beer.
This is actually one of the Ipsy things I got.
I was thinking it was, like, probably from him cleaning his basement. Or something. Like, he probably found some biological weapon down there. And now it's living
that's
inside
likely.
Him.
Yeah, that's as likely as anything.
Yeah. So they shoved a giant syringe in his ass.
No.
What?
He didn't get a shot in his ass.
He said he did.
Nope.
No, he thought he was going to.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He did not.
His night has been ruined because of that.
I have never heard Adam say, I'm not sure if I will be there tonight, and then him be there.
Right.
Yeah.
As soon as
he starts to question
odds come on the table.
Right. It's a no.
Right.
Well, at least he's giving you pre-notice.
At least this time it was, well, even last week he said, I've seen the movie already. Because a lot of times, if he doesn't want to watch the movie, that's when he'll get sick that day. Or work things happen.
Didn't he pick this movie, too?
Yeah, he actually brought it up.
That motherfucker.
Now he's not here to talk about it.
Swollen uvula, my ass.
Panda, you're going to go to bed if you keep that up.
I'm like swollen vulvula. I got nothing. That's not a thing.
Swollen.
I don't remember what a vulva is.
A what?
It's that.
Wait, what did
it's
you say?
It's that deli by our house.
The Uvula deli?
No, he said vulva.
Vulva.
You don't know what a vulva is?
I don't remember.
You don't know what a vulva is?
No.
Wow.
That's it, you're mine now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you.
Have I touched one recently?
Maybe.
No. Let's just put it, yeah. Nor will you for quite some time.
Now I feel sorry for both of you.
I'm in a Qdoba coma.
It's all them beans, man.
Look it up on your phone.
Make sure you don't do that incognito.
Okay, Google. Okay, Google.
It's not a deli in downtown. Well.
What is a uvula?
Well.
I feel sorry for you.
Not the uvula. The vulva.
Did I say uvula?
Yeah. You did.
Yeah.
Vulva. It's not a car from Sweden either.
Does that company still exist?
Volvo?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they
do. Oh, yeah, they do. Saab closed. Volvo still. Come on.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is Kayla.
This is Lena.
This is Alex.
We are the Backseat Producers. I might actually release an episode sometime soon.
Volvas cool. And uvulas it's been like since all March. Over the place.
By the time you release this, I'll probably be like level 40 in Pokemon.
Probably.
Unlikely. The experience requirement is going up exponentially.
Yeah, it's enormous.
After level 20.
Like, to get to level 20, you needed 25,000, and then to get to level 22, you needed 75,000. So, like, I was level 21 for a couple days.
That sounds like leveling up in D&D.
Yeah.
It's an exponential increase.
Yeah, they...
Like, level...
No, D&D, it's...
1 to level 2 is, like, 1,000. And, like, level 15 is, like, 1.5 million or something stupid like that. It's ridiculous.
Doesn't D&D use some, modified Fibonacci sequence or something like that?
Your Fibonacci sequence...
No, it's different for every class. Every class uses a different scale.
I don't think it does that anymore.
I only know that from when D&D didn't have numbers after it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure since version 3, they're all the same.
Yeah, they all use the same level.
Yeah, they do.
It's 1,000, 3,000...
Because we played 4E for a while.
6,000. Yeah, it's some weird Fibonacci sequence base. Never mind. It's not important.
And now they even suggest, like, they have experience for an encounter, just so you, like you assign experience to an encounter, and you build your encounter out of the experience you could give to your party.
Huh.
There's all kinds of weirdness to it. Like, you can establish that if the party makes it through these three encounters, that's when they'll level up. Like... You don't even track it anymore. You don't even have to track it anymore because the DM just says, "All right, we have this many players," and they build the encounter, and that encounter just has a value for it. Then they just add up the encounters, divide by the number of players, and when you hit a certain number of encounters, it's like, "All right, everybody levels up now."
I wish D&D was a little more organic, like.
There are other games for that.
I know.
Then you don't want to play D&D.
No, I do want to play D&D. I just wish the how skills leveled up was a little more organic. Like, oh, you've been doing really good with your lockpick work. Get it, add 2 to it, something, right? Like, whereas with D&D, it's like, oh, well, now I know another language all of a sudden. Out of nowhere.
We're playing a Torchbearer game, which is a version of Burning Wheel, which is just fucking brutal. Like, you roll for everything, and if you fail, like, you can fail, you fail your roll, but the DM can decide, you actually get what you wanted, but there's a consequence to it, or there's a twist to it. Like, I tried to cast a spell. I'm a druid. I'm a first level druid. I have one spell. I memorize my spell. but I failed my roll, so I didn't even get the spell that I wanted. So then I go to cast this spell, which is a light spell. A light spell. That's all I'm casting. I go from being having the condition of fresh, which means I get to roll one extra die for everything, to exhausted, which means I have to get it. I have to get one more success for everything I do. Like I do a complete swing. It's like, oh God. But hey, that light spell was cast. I lit up a boulder. So yeah, that game is rough. And you can actually level up individual skills. Like, and you level them up by passes and failures. Like, you need to both succeed and fail to level stuff up. Hmm. If you're, let's say you're a cartographer, because you have to map things. Like, if you map your, like, the things you've been to, basically you can fast travel from then on. You don't have to actually make rolls to find things. If there were obstacles in the way, you don't have to... Like, if there's a ravine, and you pass the ravine and you map it, you just are on the other side of the ravine. You don't have to try to get across it again.
That's nice.
It is, as long as you pass. But, if you have a 2 cartography skill, you have to pass twice and fail once. And if you pass twice and fail once, then you're level 3. I'm playing it on Thursday nights. It's fun, but it's super frustrating. We already had a TPK. Yeah,
Is it the D6 based game?
It's D6, and you get an obstacle, which that's the number of successes you need to meet or get above to succeed, and then you have a dice pool. So your dice pool is based on your skill. If you have a skill of 3, that's 3 die. But if you, like, if I have that skill and I have 3, if you also have that skill, regardless of what level it is, you can say, I am helping you do that, and I get one more die. And, you know, if someone else can creatively say they're helping with one of their skills, and the DM allows it, you just add die to the die pool.
That's a bunch of nerd shit.
That's what this whole episode's gonna be about.
Nerd shit.
Why don't you take a nap? You can move
me. I don't know. I got a Charizard. I'm just gonna throw that out there on the podcast.
Shut up about your Charizard.
Kel's got a Venusaur.
Nobody gives a fuck about your Charizard.
I'm like a quarter of the way to a Gyarados.
What's more important, Charizards or Vulvas? Just saying.
Apparently Charizard.
Clearly.
I think that was established.
There was some fucking meme that I saw that somebody had posted online about how if you're out playing Pokemon Go, you need to turn in your man card, blah, 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 blah. And the very next post was, what's a man card? Can I turn on my man card and get a Squirtle? Because it's so fucking stupid. Or all these people are pissed off about Pokemon Go when it doesn't affect their lives. Like, if you don't want to play it, just don't play it.
That's what I do.
It's like people who get pissed off at gay people. There's no reason.
No, like, it's more like people who get pissed off at people who like sports.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the people who are getting obnoxious about, don't judge me because I play Pokemon, are the same people that call every sports ball. Mm. And that's infuriating. No,
there's also sports puck. Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But I like how aggressively, like, defensive the Pokemon Go community has become about it. Like, as far as retaliating memes, I guess it's a thing, like, you know.
Meme battle.
Look,
It's the dance off of this generation's dance off, I guess.
The people who love Pokemon and the people who create memes, I feel like those Venn diagrams are very tight.
Yeah. So we're gonna win. The Diglett dick pics are proof of that.
I love those.
We're gonna win that meme war.
Some of the news stories that are coming out are just amazing, though.
Oh my god!
See the one that came out today. Somebody in Baltimore
found another body.
Nope, ran into a police car. Oh, parked police car.
Oh god!
It was caught on video because there was a bunch of cops standing on the corner, like they had just got done doing something, and there's a police car parked there, and like. It was a body cam image, and like you can see these other guys talking, and they're discussing, and in the distance you see this car coming down the street, and I mean it's just coming down the street, and all of a sudden, wham, just drives straight into the police car.
Oh my god!
I thought it's been funny. Like, what is it? The three bodies now have been found by Pokemon.
It was like five.
Oh my god, I knew of two, and
that was it.
I knew of the one.
Have been found by Pokemon Go players, like, just walking around.
And then wasn't one of them, a little girl found a baby, an abandoned baby?
I don't know.
Like, behind her yard? Not dead.
But what...
It was, a 9-year-old girl found a baby. I guess it was kind of a wooded area.
Well, I guess that's the new, like, leaving it on the doorstop.
Bizarre.
Is you leave a baby and a... And like some lures. Somebody's gonna find this baby.
That's dark.
Like the
I was too busy playing Pokemon and didn't know I was pregnant.
The Pokemon adjacent stories are the ones that I've been enjoying.
Adjacent.
However, the ones that are like where the news, like the reporter tries to explain Pokemon to an audience that doesn't understand Pokemon, and the reporter themselves doesn't know what Pokemon is.
Yeah.
I can't read them.
There have been so many false, like, what? I don't really call it a meme, but you see, like, it's in a meme style where it's an image, like, copied off a website, and it's, like, a story, usually off Tumblr or something. Oh. I've seen so many fake versions of those, like, people making up fake Pokemon adventures, but if you read it and you know how the game is played, you know absolutely that what they're saying cannot happen.
Well,
and the, like, it's that's so weird to me.
The thing, like, apparently, like, the KSDK had something posted, like, where they were like, oh, there was a stampede in this park because an ultra rare Pokemon showed up, a Vaporeon. I'm like, that's not ultra rare. I've had like six of those over the course of the game so far. Yeah, so like, like, also, there probably wasn't a stampede. It was probably like three kids, like, I don't have one of those yet.
I saw something in the news today that somebody's figured out, like, a naming convention that allows you to...
Yeah.
That has
evolve.
Proven to be accurate, like, 95% of the time.
Really?
What does that mean? So, there's a Pokemon called Eevee, and she has multiple evolutions that she can have. She's the only one who can evolve into multiple. And right now, there's three in the game. And before, when the game first started, everyone thought it was random. But then everyone's trying to figure out, like, how do you get the one that you actually want? So there have been a number of different hypotheses about it. And the one that seems to be ringing true is if you give them certain names that correspond with names that they had in the original anime.
Oh, okay.
But then I've talked to some people who are like, well, it didn't work for me.
It's been 100% for me, and I've probably evolved 6 or 7 that way.
It's been 100% for me, too.
I'm wondering if those people had a typo.
I don't know.
That could be.
Because the one of the names is Pyro. That's pretty easy to spell. But another one is Rainer.
Oh.
R-A-I-N-E-R. So, like, that's not clear. The other one is Sparky.
I knew I saw the word Sparky.
Yeah, Sparky is easy. But, like, if they misspell Rainer, like... Probably gonna get a random.
Well, the screenshots I saw, they were spelled correctly, but I don't know if they like accidentally put a space afterwards or
change the name after it evolves.
No, they wouldn't have done that. This was in the Team Mystic.
Oh, okay.
Kick. We're not trying to screw each other over. We're trying to figure things out. We're Team Mystic. We're not like that Team Valor. Those scum.
I like how it's Team Mystic versus Team Valor. Like, nobody really talks about Team Instincts.
I just so think weird. I think it's funny that, like, I keep seeing these memes for, like, this is what this team is and this team and this team, and it's like,
it's just
I have absolutely no connection to any of this and don't understand the basis behind the names at all.
There's no basis.
And, like, it's like none of it makes any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. It's completely arbitrary.
Like, these ones are Trump and these ones are Hillary and these ones are the Joker.
What the fuck? It's all just trash talk. It's hilarious.
I can appreciate that. And I kind of figured that's what it was.
Yeah.
I can appreciate trash talk.
Nobody really takes it seriously. Although somebody did tag a sign, Team Valor did. And
I've seen a couple.
Was it Team Mystic tag? Somebody on Team Mystic tagged a sign in DC.
No, somebody tagged the word Team Mystic.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And
in a couple of places.
Yeah, those people are dicks.
Yeah.
Speaking of tagging things in public, did you see what some street artist did in on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yes.
They built a wall around his star.
It was great.
And it wasn't like popsicle sticks. It was like a poured concrete wall.
Yeah.
With barbed wire on top of it.
It was really good.
It was super clever. That made me happy.
I just saw this thing a couple minutes ago because Ted Cruz was talking tonight. He did not endorse Trump. He just kept talking and talking and talking, and he wouldn't do it.
His wife had to be escorted out of the place because people were, like, threatening her.
Ted Cruz's wife?
Yep.
Classy.
Yeah, it's a classy.
Keep it classy, RNC.
Right.
Sitting there at work, it's 4:45, 4:50, just me and this large mechanic. He's the guy that I say sounds like Boomhauer. I like him. He's a nice guy, but almost everyone I work with are massive Trump supporters. So I'm sitting there waiting.
Which makes absolutely no sense.
Well, because they're stupid.
No. The good old boys.
That still doesn't make
any
sense.
It's us versus them. They, you know. So I'm just waiting for 4:58 because that's when I lock the door and know that I can begin the going home process. So you're sitting there. Oh, hi, Lena. Yeah. You're Democrat, ain't you? Yes. Why do you ask? You just kind of seem like one. I mean, I'm not offended. I'm just
because
confused.
I'm a reasonable.
Yeah. Well, I asked him why, and then I totally forgot that we're Facebook friends, so he would see. Not that I post a bunch of political stuff, but I will like a lot of things and occasionally share them, but. I actually had a semi-decent conversation. In that, it didn't get totally racist. I was kind of surprised because he's from Tennessee and that whole everyone from the Middle East is a Muslim terrorist. That is rampant where I work. Ugh.
Everyone?
Oh, good God. Yeah, but he absolutely hates Hillary. Dislikes Donald Trump less, but he was
hardly an endorsement.
I feel the same way about those two people, but just reverse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's
well. What I found interesting was that he was saying that he didn't think Trump would get to this level.
That I don't think anybody
exactly. Yeah,
I
don't that, think that he was all bluster and I was like, you know what, I'm kind of. Almost
even,
okay with this conversation.
Even his campaign manager resigned, did not believe, said that Trump himself did not believe he would get this far, but he's been seduced by his own popularity somewhat.
The problem is a lot of people are fucking, yeah, that word came out.
A lot of people do that occasionally.
A lot of people are fed up with the politics because it's like,
a lot of people remain fed up with politics. It's nothing new.
So, and people are like, anything different, people will try to grasp onto.
Mm-hmm. And that was kind of his thing.
Yeah. So, like, this is how badly people don't want the same shit. They will vote for something that they think will be worse overall because they hope that will push the revolution farther forward.
That's Adam's theory.
Except
the I don't think that's the truth. That's, I don't think that's the case.
I have anecdotal evidence from talking to coworkers where they're like, it would help.
It down.
Yeah.
Well, would it though?
I don't think it would. I don't think it would work. I don't think it would work.
My coworker's response to that, because that was one of the things, he prefers Trump because he's not a politician, because he's tired of everything that's gone on and what politics have become, where it's basically whoever's giving you the most money, that's where you're going to lean and put little. But he thinks that his brassness, Trump's brassness, and I'll do whatever the fuck I want, is the right way to go to shake things up. And I'm like, that's, to me,
the thing is,
the way to burn everything down.
But see, the thing is Trump is speaking to a group of people who look at
80%
intellectualism as a negative thing.
Yes.
He speaks to a group of people who sees people who are book smart as something less.
Mm-hmm. 80%
and he's speaking up to them.
Yep.
80% of his primary voters that were polled basically admitted that they were racist in a poll. And it's like, are you in favor of banning Mexicans? Are you in favor of banning Muslims? Are you in favor of... And yes.
Do you think we should bomb Agrabah?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that was still one of my favorites.
And a lot of them said yes.
Yes, like, but you know what?
So did Democrats.
Yeah.
They buried that, like, the people that were pointing that out.
Significantly less, but enough for
it was
to be
still
like,
enough to
what
go
are you
like,
guys
whoa,
doing?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's going on here? You know that word because you've heard it somewhere. You just don't remember where you heard it.
But his big primary support was people who are fed up and people who are racist.
Yeah.
He's saying racist things. He's going to get a lot of...
And it's not... It's people who... There's a lot of people who don't define themselves as racist.
Oh, no. They don't...
Nobody does.
No.
I'm not racist, but insert racist comment here.
Right.
I don't have anything against black people, but... I don't have anything against gay people,
That's all I heard at my previous job. Well, I'm not prejudiced or anything, but...
But I'm now going to tell you why I'm prejudiced.
Right, yeah. I'm going to say exactly the type of thing that makes a person prejudiced. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the same group of people that use the word politically correct as something bad.
Right.
Yeah. You're being politically... No, I'm not being an asshole.
I'm just correct.
Yeah.
I'm just being respectful of other people.
Ugh.
Well, no, nobody ever thinks of themselves as the bad guy.
No.
And racists are bad guys. We've established that in society. Racists are bad guys, so you can't be a racist, obviously, because you're not a bad guy.
We're all the heroes of our own story.
Except for the people who think that racism is okay, and that they admit it.
Oh, yeah, but the KKK endorsed Trump.
But socially,
and then he didn't deny it immediately.
Yeah. It took days.
No, but he's
when you're in social circles, everybody knows that... You're supposed to say, "I'm not a racist."
Everybody knows who the racist is.
whoa! Oh, that reminds me. Less than 1% of the delegates at the RNC are black. Less than 1%.
I love.
Did you see that? Was it Rand? No, not Rand Paul.
Like Paul Ryan.
Thank you, Paul Ryan.
No. There was another one posted tonight. That was the Democratic interns.
Yes, there was a side by side.
It's ridiculous the difference.
Paul Ryan's interns.
All white.
They're not all white. It is
very white.
It's like
almost all white.
It's like white as the driven snow, except for where that dog peed over there. Like that's the splash of color in Ron Paul's. James. Now that
he's so upset.
Was that a racist comment though?
No. I'm not a racist, but I don't think that was a racist comment. God, was it? I didn't mean it to be.
All right. So,
anywho,
Lena, what did you think of this movie?
I thought I saw it. I thought I had seen it a long time ago, but clearly it was just I had seen so many scenes from it because I was watching it, and there was a lot that I hadn't seen. God damn it, it was good. Oh, I would, and I will watch it.
Oh, someone's walking home.
Alex.
This movie's fucking garbage.
Nope.
No.
Kayla.
Thank you.
Nope. I hated this movie.
And you're both. That's it. I'm driving his car home. Either that or I'm just going to sleep here. And...
It's not my car. It's Kayla's car.
I would love to be convinced otherwise.
I know
otherwise,
what the
vibe
is. I'm getting a ride home.
We'll talk. Daryl, what'd you think?
Is that what we're here to do?
Wait, are we talking about the vulva or the movie?
We have already established that you hate vulvas.
It's the lips of the vagina.
And vulvas.
What?
It's the lips of the vagina.
Did you look it up?
No. I'm just trying to put on a show, people. It's called entertainment.
No. No. That wasn't entertainment. Nobody was entertained, Alex.
I was entertained. Daryl, what'd you think?
Most brilliant movie ever made.
Oh, my God.
It improves with each watching.
I'm going to piss on your tires, Daryl.
That's...
Please that's, tell me what is the draw to this movie.
Did I watch the wrong fucking movie?
Did we
movie?
Watch the wrong movie?
Yeah, probably
what
did.
Was,
what? There was a 30-minute fucking introduction about some apes.
Yeah, it sets up the whole story.
No,
yes,
it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
It does. It absolutely does.
Yes, it does.
Was I supposed to take drugs before watching it?
Nope.
No, but it sometimes helps like towards the last of the movie. This is a movie which requires you to sit back and think. It's not just passive entertainment.
No.
Yes.
Thinking isn't a problem.
Well, it was in 69.
And also, Stanley Kubrick.
Yes.
Which is...
Yeah, I don't know what that
mindset
is.
Mindset.
Kubrick's the director.
Yes.
All right.
He also did The Shining.
Didn't he also do one
of the Clockwork Orange?
No, I was thinking Shining.
No, it was Shining.
My other very favorite movie of Clockwork Orange.
Eyes Wide Shut.
I've never seen Clockwork Orange, but this kind of reminded.
Do go back and look at one of our podcasts.
I don't know.
Get a whole thing on it.
I think you would like that.
You know
what?
I was thinking we did that here, but I think we did that for a backseat book club.
Dark? What?
It's Clockwork Orange.
We did it.
Oh, you did it? Okay.
It seems like it would be very grotesque, what I know of it. No. I know enough about it, because obviously it's an iconic movie.
It's
just like I thought I knew enough about this movie.
It makes more sense when you watch it.
I actually had read, for that, I read the book first.
Well, 2001 is a movie you have to watch all the way through.
No,
you just
can't
watch
bits
and
pieces.
No, I could probably watch every other minute and get the same experience.
No. Mm-mm. No.
Maybe every 30th minute and get the same experience.
I'm dying for Adam to be here.
I need somebody to tell me...
Did he dislike it?
Why this movie...
We didn't talk about it at all.
...is good.
Well, it's because it was iconic in that it showed realistic space in a way that had never been shown before.
This movie was made when I was 2.
Okay.
Only Daryl and I were alive at the
time. It showed.
Yeah, I remember seeing it in
moonscapes.
The 69 in the.
From.
Oh, wow.
From a view that we'd never seen the moon before. Like, it was mostly extrapolated based on the ideas that we had of photos of the moon because we hadn't been there yet.
So, hold on. Is this just that it was cool pictures for the time?
No.
Because
no, that's just part of it.
The
that's
plot.
Just
is really where I'm struggling because the plot, there isn't one.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, there is.
There is. And the plot is that at certain points in human evolution, aliens have shown up. This is spoiling like 4 books worth of of mythology and a couple of movies.
I've
worth,
seen Ancients and Aliens.
Damn. I've never heard Tony make that noise.
Wow. It's this chair. This is chair a- is power. Oh, the-
see, you got it.
He's rubbing his
belly.
He's going to grow a beard and really long hair now in the next hour.
As Tony was trying to say, yeah, it's mankind's evolution has been more or less guided by an external force.
Okay,
so that's what the opening was. Mm-hmm. They showed, and I butcher the fucking name of the class of evolution. It was a step in the evolution evolutionary process, and they showed them going about their day to day life very simply. Then the monolith shows up, and after the monolith shows up, it does something to them and pushes them to the next step in the evolution, which is using tools
to overtake.
And that's, I mean,
I don't know, I understand all this.
It's very slow.
I saw this.
No, it is very slow. But that's what it does. I mean, that's the point. That's the whole point of the first 25 minutes of the movie, which is admittedly is a long way to go to get to that point.
About five times longer than it needed to be.
Again, this is a movie you
don't know that. Tony's heads are going to explode. That's
exactly right. I would say it should have been cut to at least half of what it was. It was way too long. But that was the point of that. Now, you know, then the story is, it's 2001. We're in space. We have a presence on the moon. We have a presence in throughout the solar system.
In the year 2001.
Mm-hmm. In the year 2001. There's actually a valid argument for why 2001 wasn't an unreasonable time frame.
Because they
frequently went back and asked Arthur C. Clarke, how could you have gotten it so wrong? You know, and it's like, well, we didn't predict Vietnam, which was a terrible drain on resources and completely distracted the public conscience away from the wonders of space into the horrors of war, and everyone funneled all their money to that. Money got taken away from NASA. There was a string of tragedies that went through the 70s and 80s and got to the point where they had to start paying for airtime to show the launches. Mm-hmm. Where at first, you know, it was everything. They were falling over themselves to show the launches of the spacecraft.
Actually, all the technology that was available in the 60s and 70s could have been, if it had been funded properly and it had kept going, we would have been at Jupiter in 2001.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. At the rate of which they were going when this movie was made, I can see them thinking that 2001, you know, that's not such a...
There was actually things they pulled back because they thought, that's going to seem ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
Because, like, HAL was originally supposed to be a robot.
Mm-hmm.
Like a
mobile robot. That seems less ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now
it seems less ridiculous. Right. At the time, it's to have it just be the red dot. Right.
He's just a part of the discovery. Is all he is. He's just another integrated part of it.
Yeah.
But just to give you an idea, I mean, back in the early 1970s, we had nuclear rocket engines that were actually being run out in the desert, and the only reason they didn't get built is because just NASA ran out of money. They didn't have any missions that they could send them on. But they had prototypes that were actually running, and they were ready to go.
Well,
and we just quit.
You know, back then, you know, NASA is becoming huge, and you know, the American like mindset is towards space. But a couple of years ago, when they were talking about like shutting down NASA or something like that, everybody's complaining about how much of a waste of money, you know, launching these rockets. Yeah. So it's such a huge...
We are spending like $1.4 trillion a year on it. Oh, fuck. That's the military.
Yeah, no, right. Exactly.
I think NASA's budget's about something like $15 billion, which is like...
No, that was his point.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, it's that we are spending a ridiculous amount of money on other things.
The commercial
other than exploration
side.
And
the commercial side of space is starting to take over... Now right. We've got now more competing companies in the world that are really starting to pick up the stuff that we thought that was going to happen in the 70s, and NASA's and the other space agencies are going back to what their original purpose was, which was the advanced research and development.
Yeah.
And kind of saying, here's the mission. Now, one of you come up to this is how much money you got, who can deliver? Is it SpaceX? Is it Launch Associates? Is it Energia? Is it European Space Agency or Ariane Space? You know, they're there.
All right. Kayla, what were you
saying? It kind of goes hand in hand with this anti-intellectual movement that we've been, you know, kind of feeling in America. Carl Sagan warned against it years and years ago. But, you know.
I think a lot of prominent entertainment scientists... Because he was. I mean, he was science-based, but he was also an entertainer. You know, no different than Neil deGrasse Tyson is. He has a foot in both worlds, which is why he's so awesome, because he understands how to speak to people and how to relay it in a way that makes sense.
Right. That gets people fired up and excited about it.
Yeah. So that was kind of a divergent off of, that's where they thought they would be in 2001. And really it comes down to the mission to go check out the thing, which, you know, we know because we saw it in prehistory as the monolith. There's a monolith out there. And they go to investigate it, and in the process of getting close to it, Hal gets turned. It wasn't a flaw in Hal's programming. Hal is...
Wait, are we talking about when they went to the moon? Because that wasn't Hal. Are we talking about when they were going to Jupiter?
We're talking when they're going to Jupiter.
Okay.
They're going to Jupiter's moon, to be clear. Right. I'm pretty sure Europa. All this happened on Jupiter's
moon. It was Europa.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of them.
I'm pretty sure it was Europa, if I'm remembering... Because I read the books too.
It's got a lot.
No, it's just they just went to Jupiter. There's no Europa stop on the way.
No. It was one of Jupiter's moons.
They found the thing on Jupiter's moon. It was on one of Jupiter's moons. So they were heading to Jupiter. That's the big target.
Mm-hmm.
It's something's
like,
there.
That's like when I visit Orlando and somebody says, "Where are you from?" "I'm from St. Louis." "Well, no, I'm not from St. Louis, but that's right. Close enough."
Nobody knows.
That's why I say I'm from Boston. Because unless you're from there and say, "Oh, whereabouts? I'm from so-and-so," then I can
get into details.
They found a monolith on Jupiter's moon?
Mm-hmm. That's...
Well, yes. I thought the monolith they found was on our moon.
There was.
Yeah. But okay. At the end of the sequence where Hal is shut down, the little program that starts to play where the narrator says, "This is an automatic message as soon as you enter Jupiter space..." And then he reels off when they found TMA-1, which was the monolith on the moon, and it sent a signal. They said the signal went to Jupiter.
Yes.
That's all he leaves off at that point.
So
there's another monolith.
There's another monolith there. They knew
the monolith on the moon sent a signal to Jupiter.
It was a burglar alarm.
And they wanted to see what was up.
It really was.
Yeah. What you find out is actually a shit ton of monoliths. They don't get to it in this movie. That's for... The other movie and the three other books that come later.
There's another movie?
Yeah.
2010, yeah.
Yeah, it came out in 84.
It's made completely different.
It's more recent, so.
The style of this movie was just so completely dry. Like, the acting in it was really dry. There was a bunch of these moments where they were building up, like, this interest... And then it just stopped. It was like a bunch of tantric, like, moments.
Yeah.
And, every time I'm like, okay, we're getting to, like, a climax here. It was just like,
because
18
in real,
months later.
Okay. In real life, that's the way it would be.
Well,
no.
But that's not how you tell a story.
No, that isn't how it would be. Because one of the big moments where that happens is where they find the monolith on the moon. And the noise starts going off and everyone's freaking out.
And then
it just switched.
Mm-hmm.
18 months later.
And that's,
I don't know, did they die?
Well, that's
no, and it just did. It just rattled their brains.
That's the way both Kubrick and Arthur C. Clarke tell stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't like
it's them. Shitty.
No, that's just the way
I actually like
stories.
Them. That's,
no, it's
I
just
that's
was
the way.
Totally, yeah.
I'm a big Arthur Clarke fan, and that's how he tells stories.
I like that ambiguousness.
You would have to dig both of them up to do that.
I will.
This movie to me felt like it was somebody's like fucking ninth grade movie project, and then they're like, "Oh shit, I need to stretch this out over 2.5 hours."
Like,
no,
I'm there not was a lot stranger.
Of there was a lot of screenplay and novelization going back and forth between Arthur Clarke and Stanley Kubrick. So this thing was very organically put together. I mean, the final edit when they did it, it was essentially to make this thing. So you had to sit back and actually watch it.
The only way this was organically put together is if these guys were fucking taking some mushroom organics
again,
and putting it together.
Again, you're talking about a movie style that Stanley Kubrick is known for. This is not a slam-bang action film that an entire generation has grown up to be since the 1970s.
It isn't that I don't appreciate ambiguity or, like, I don't appreciate cerebral movies. It's just that this was a step too far. Like, it was so, like I said, dry, like, throughout so much of it that I could never get an interest. It was like watching a real, like, NASA
So
that is essentially what astronauts and engineers would be after 18 years. They're going to be nerds that murder me for saying this.
All right, nerds. All right,
so there was a Russian film, Solaris, that then George Clooney and Steven Soderbergh remade. They cut no, as far as I remember, because I've seen both movies, they cut, from what I remember, no dialogue, a scene or two maybe.
I think I saw
it. But the movies, the Russian version was 4 hours long. The Soderbergh version was like two. But it was, there was the pacing, it was a movie made in the early 70s, so the pacing was just super slow. But it was also the style of making a Russian film was also one that, like, this guy was going somewhere and they showed his car driving through the hillside, going into a tunnel, coming out the other end of the tunnel. Didn't edit that. They just panned over the mountain and then there's the car coming out, driving along the countryside.
You
and it's what? Like
you saw a lot of that in the movies in the 70s. I remember why? That.
That's unnecessary.
That was just the way they made films then. The pacing of films changed considerably in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm. They
became a lot faster, a lot more quickly cut, quickly edited. A lot of it comes from things that happened in the 40s, where theaters didn't have show times. You showed up and you paid your money and you walked in and you sat down and you started watching the movie from where it was.
And then when it was done, it would just replay.
And then it would just replay. And
intermission.
You keep watching until you caught up to where you were and you knew what the story was, or you finished till the end of that time and then you left. That is not ideal. And audiences today do not cotton to that bullshit. they don't. It's not... If somebody tried to make a movie like this today, it would be laughed at. Mm-hmm. Like, you're laughing at it.
Yeah.
But that was how they made movies.
No, I wasn't laughing at it. I was like, are we watching the right movie? This is 2.5 hours long. Oh my God, Lena says the whole movie's like this.
The whole movie's
the music
not.
Intro. And I'm like, I was like, no, there's a half hour of that. I'm so pleased that it bothered you. I was like, I'm gonna like try to say something.
Because there's like 5 minutes. I watched my Blu-ray copy of it. I own it. Mm. The first 5 minutes is just a black card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think like watching it on Netflix, it was about 2.5 minutes of that with just the music and the music and the music. I loved the music.
The UK re-release of it,
mm-hmm.
the last, after the credits run, there's 10 to 15 minutes of music to play on a black screen after the movie's over.
Wow.
It's essentially preparing you to clear your mind.
It's a palate cleanser.
Yeah. So you can get ready. That way they go pow it right into the story.
If I had paid money and went to a theater to see this, I would have left and demanded a refund.
And a lot of people did.
Like
a lot
of people within
even then
20 minutes, I would have been like, this is fucking terrible. Give me my money back.
A lot of people did.
I was enwrapped, just so you
like
know. Like, at one point, I realized my tablet was here, because I was like...
But, I mean, this right technique was later used. If you watched Good, Bad, and the Ugly, I mean, Sergio Leone uses that technique a lot of times, where he has the character standing off, and it's a long 10-20 minute sequence of them just getting into position with the rapid cuts between the faces and what they're doing, and he's considered genius.
What's kind of funny now is that the film style has changed so considerably that on television shows, when like there's some AMC and I think Better Call Saul does it, where there are sequences where nobody talks for long stretches and they just let the scene play out and somebody's just staring at something, contemplating something for a minute and people lose their minds. This is inventive. This is creative. This is amazing. This is how films used to be made all the time.
If it was a minute, that's fine. But there was like, the intro is probably 30 to 35 minutes of monkeys doing monkey shit.
It was 20
monkeys doing
from the start of the track until the first spoken words, 25 minutes.
Yeah, and then
we timed that.
And then like the monolith shows up, and then they fucking lose their minds, and they're hooping and hollering about it, and they pick up some bones, and they go beat some other monkeys. Like
they evolve.
There's a better way to tell this story.
How?
Don't take so long. this is easy.
I mean, you want something that's
bang, bang, bang,
scene after scene.
I don't need it to be some constant crazy action thriller. I just need it to not be so fucking boring. Like, if Kayla had been watching it with me, I would not have watched this.
Yeah, I made him continue watching.
She made me watch it, because I wanted to leave. I would have stopped watching it. The same thing with, like, Tinker Tailor, whatever the fuck.
Soldier Spy.
Yeah, like, I did not watch that movie. I wish I had not watched this movie.
I'm gonna never say it. I wish I had I'm not gonna watch watched it something more. That's kind of a...
Again, that's what makes 2001 so endearing to me, so many people. It's totally different from any other film you'll ever watch from that time period.
I could probably make a film of about this quality on my cell phone tomorrow if you want.
Well, I'd like to see
watch
that.
Something like it.
Go back and use the technology in 1968.
This
movie actually took years to make.
My phone has three cameras. I'm already ahead.
It took them.
I'd like to see you construct the set.
It took them a year just to do the matte paintings of the space shots.
Look, I'm not saying like they're like I understand like some of the sets and some shit like there was good stuff.
But you're also making comparisons to what you can do on your cell phone.
Yeah, the story is just garbage.
No,
I feel like this was written by like a junior high student.
No.
And then
it wasn't.
Then I don't understand why it was
carefully crafted by somebody who worked in the space program who was literally a rocket scientist.
Like, who has science fiction awards named after him.
Yeah, like I know I'm shitting all over somebody, but the movie just fucking sucked to me. Like it was just bad. Like I don't know.
But one thing about
it. Saying it was bad, but you still haven't
quantified that very much.
So, like,
your quantification is you said
the plot. What else about the plot didn't you?
Okay, so here's the plot in my head. The monolith shows up, teaches the monkeys how to use tools, and something happens. It goes away. It goes to the moon. Gets buried somewhere. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Wait, it's the same monolith?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it leaves.
I'm assumed. I mean, they don't say anything about it, so who knows?
It's
different monoliths.
In the course of the movie, it doesn't matter, and it's ambiguous what happens to it.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, we're on a Hyatt space station or something.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was Hilton.
Hilton? Whatever.
Yeah.
And some people are talking about things that we don't really understand about some event that happened, and then we're in a boardroom. And they're talking about some shit, and it's all secret, and we don't really understand. And then,
except we do.
Yeah.
If you're following the conversations, they do make sense. And explain what's going on. I mean, it's fair. If you checked out.
I did frequently.
Okay. Well,
see, that's the thing. You got to watch this movie and listen to what they say.
But to get to that boardroom, it was like
watch the movie is the point. Like, it's hard to keep my attention. Like. In it when like every time something starts to happen it just completely switches gears and I'm somewhere else again. Like I can't stay in the story long enough to actually get what's going on. Like I understood, I don't have a problem with the plot. Like I understand it's a good science fiction plot. It's just that the way they told the story I couldn't get into it. I couldn't like do anything with it.
If they had actually explained like, hey, we think we've discovered alien life. We think it's communicated with us. We think it's changed our history. But instead, they kind of like tiptoed around and like, we think it's going to be huge. We think it's...
No, they never say that. Except when during that small briefing, which occurs right after the house shutdown, he says, exactly, we think this is an extraterrestrial object. And we don't know hardly anything about it, but we know it's out there. And that's why we sent the Discovery out there.
The house shutdown?
When he shut down Hal. Because Hal tried to kill
him. Oh, that. No,
yeah,
no.
That.
Okay. That part.
But that's like almost the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that essentially explains why they're out there. Because They don't even, they think they're just taking a trip to Jupiter for scientific exploration. Even Hal has questions when he questions Bowman. He says, do you think this mission was rather mysterious? All three scientists were put on board already in hibernation. Mm-hmm. And he says, don't you find that a little strange?
Yeah.
So even Hal has is kind of questioning some of this too. We don't find out later that Hal kind of knew what was going on, but wasn't allowed to tell anybody.
I don't know. Just the enormous gaps in time. Like, you see him walking down the hallway. Like, a good example is that scene where the fucking stewardess tiptoes up the wall.
Oh god, I loved that.
It's like 2 minutes of tiptoeing up this wall. Come on.
Again, this audience had never seen that. So you like,
what is Adam's rule, like, the work stands alone, or like,
but there's also no looking forward to a time when science fiction movies are there's a new one every other week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, in 1968, the only thing I can compare that to was that Fred Rogers.
Dr. Strangelove is older than this movie.
What is his name? The dancer.
Doctor Strangelove is older in this movie, and Doctor Strangelove is way better.
Dancing on the walls.
Mm-hmm. No, with the it's not
like that. To me, that it's is the different. Only thing that I would think they would have had a comparison. I mean, I was fascinated watching those scenes, thinking, how did they do this in 1968? What were they doing? I just loved it.
See, I don't care. I just want a good story, and this story to me.
No, I did enjoy watching that and trying to think, how were they doing this in that time period, like.
Well, and there's also this is also the idea that we didn't have live footage from space flights, not from in capsule space flights, where we see astronauts floating around and, you know, squirting their juice and then floating over and sucking it up out of the air. Like, I mean, this shit's all over YouTube now.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. But there was nothing like that to show conceptually how someone could live in space.
And this is a commercial.
It was all theoretical.
And the fact that you know, NASA scientists
are
like...
They did a really good job knowing that.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm complaining about. They didn't need to spend several minutes showing...
Yeah, you did, because again, nobody in 1968 would have known this.
There's no shorthand for it.
There, right. I mean, you can... The fun thing is about this movie I like is... Watching this thing in high definition is when they do the close-ups on all the ships and space stations, it really holds together well. I mean, that looks exactly like what you would see.
I don't have a problem with the way it looked or their hypotheses for how, like, you would artificially create gravity and stuff. I just, they spend way too much time on
okay,
nothing.
Okay, let's put it this way. The biggest problem you have with this movie is you can't sit still long enough to watch it and think about what you're seeing. You got to have bang, bang, bang.
No, you are completely disregarding.
No, I don't think that's the case either. I think the disconnect comes in that they had to show that nothing for people to understand anything about what was going on. To understand that these people were living in space, that this wasn't just they weren't just on an airplane. Mm-hmm. They're not just this isn't just
I'll be somewhere in 2 hours.
Right. This takes months. And Kubrick gave a movie that had very little in the way of exposition for any of this. There's hardly any exposition, because what you looked at in the first 25 minutes of the movie as being long and boring and nothing happening was a visual story with no exposition, with no way to have exposition. The way it can be told more succinctly is with a voiceover, which is shit. Voiceovers, for the most part, are shit. It shouldn't have been as long as it was. I give you that.
Here's how I would have done the intro. If I wanted to show that alien life, whatever it is, we'll just use the monolith, was affecting our evolution, I would have shown it at multiple points I would have had it show up in the ocean. Bam. Fucking multicell organisms appear. Start populating all over the place. I would have had to show up in the dinosaurs. It fucking kills a T-Rex or something, right? Like, show it through different periods of time. Yeah.
But
like, have it influence, like, have it influence things in an apparent way.
Sorry. And see, and
yeah.
T-Rex fucking dead.
It's that
asteroid.
It's the comet coming in, right?
Right.
Like, who, it just... Like, show it through different points of time where it's nudging us in a direction.
And see that that's not the story they were telling, though. It's that this has happened twice. That's it. We saw the one time it happened, and now we're seeing the other time that it happened.
Yeah, but and then what does it even do? Like, you get to the end of the movie, and the guy ages, and then he's a fetus.
He becomes a star child. He's evolved to the next level.
That's not explained anywhere.
Yeah, I really didn't understand at the end of the movie.
He's a fetus in space.
No, he's the next evolution of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
he has now been given the godlike powers of the Overmind.
That's not clear at all.
It isn't clear at the time.
It's headcanon.
Yeah, yes. That's not it. It's as far canon. As I can tell. He's a fetus on a bed, giant fetus.
The
on
reason
a bed.
He
or
has to...
a normal sized fetus on a tiny bed. Everybody, I don't know.
No. Again, the man that was Frank Borman, or excuse me, Frank Bowman, can't. He's his human body cannot contain what they can offer him. He has to evolve, so he has to die and be reborn.
What is it giving him? Like
you've
there's
got the name
nothing.
Of characters wrong.
Okay,
nothing is established. It's just. You
that
see
was a,
him.
Was that David Poole?
Every time he
David
looks.
David Poole, excuse me. Poole Frank was, Poole. Frank Poole was
Frank
the one
Poole
who was killed.
David was the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Poole was Dave. Not killed, by the way.
No.
He was ejected and flash frozen. He was not killed.
No, that's.
He was hit by the pod. His air hose came off. And
well, it didn't.
You asphyxiate in space. Also, if your hose isn't connected, you lose your pressurization, so your body expands crazy and you die. He's dead.
Nope.
Where in the movie did they say he wasn't dead?
It's not in the movie.
Okay, well, here's the other thing. In the movie, he ditches the fucking body to get back in. It's gone.
Yeah.
Like, that body's gonna fucking land on Jupiter and... Or something. Like, it's done.
That's actually a plot point in the book 3001.
Spoiler!
Finding the body.
It's gone!
He's picked up later.
There's no flash freezing in space.
I don't even care if that isn't accurate. Like, I don't, like,
see,
I don't want to
read,
no,
all,
I don't
just,
read all the books, man. I don't have to, I don't mind, like, bending reality for, you know,
yeah, there's,
story.
The ending is completely ambiguous.
But, like, the,
and it was
done
so on
purpose. Ending at all. Mm-hmm. From the very moment where he starts hallucinating colors, I'm absolutely completely lost. And then he's in the... And I totally got the part where he's in that fancy room,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was beautiful, by the way. It was like this, mm-hmm. like this old.
It was like Victorian,
it's neo-classical.
But
yeah, I was just gonna say,
but also like the lighted panel like, floors.
Yeah,
are
yeah, it was
so
like
cool.
Victorian, but Jetsons at
yeah.
the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah,
but the whole feel of that scene was totally The Shining, like
Stanley Kubrick.
Well, I know, yeah. but like. I still didn't understand what was.
Every time
was
he
going
looked
on.
Over, he saw himself like 10 years later or something, right? Until he's an old man in a bed, and then he's a fetus in a bed.
But then he's no. isn't he also a fetus about to eat the earth or something?
No,
like
he's
that?
Orbiting above the earth.
I don't remember.
He's about to eat it.
At the end of the novel,
I was just
they
excited
that
it was ending.
At the end of the novelization, it said that he was master of the world, but he did not know what to do with it yet, but he would think of something. So he's been given all the powers that the aliens had. He's supposed to be the guardian of the solar system or of Earth anyway.
None of that is portrayed in the...
Yeah, none of that is...
No, you're right.
None of that's in the movie.
It's not in the movie, but in the one afterwards, it's... made somewhat clearer.
One of the other frustrating things in the movie is Hal kills all those people, and then fuck that. We don't need to talk about that anymore. Like it just doesn't come back up.
Like, well, that's basically the end of the movie. The rest of the movie is him tripping balls.
That's true.
It's him evolving. Yeah.
Tripping balls. Hal,
he's fallen down the wormhole.
What really happened is Hal got him in that ship, and then like Hal had like released some fucking nerve gas or something in it, and now he's just fucking tripping balls while Hal's taking that ship to wherever. That could have happened. We don't know.
Well, no, they seem there's a scene essentially where he's leaving the Discovery in the last remaining pod, where the Discovery's in the background, and he's coming forward to the.
That's why the pod shows up in that room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he's already tripping balls by that point.
No, he doesn't have until he tries to land on the monolith. Ugh.
No, he was tripping. He was tripping balls in the pod. Like it's all these colors and like landscapes.
So
and...
my interpretation of what happens at that point is that that is the monolith expanding his consciousness.
Did he see the monolith at that?
Yes.
Moment?
I believe
there's one scene. So. There's the one scene where you have the Discovery, the pod, and the monolith all in a line with each other.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like it's hard to tell by the scale, but I always get the impression that it's a gigantic fucking monolith. Mm-hmm. Like massive.
Mm-hmm.
And my interpretation of what happens at that point is that it's the monolith is doing the same thing to him what it did to the prehistoric apes. And it's opening its consciousness, it's giving it, showing it something that it could never see before. With the apes, it was, hey, you don't just have your hands, you can use tools, you have intelligence, you can plan, you can do things beyond just react to your situation. Where with Dave, it was giving him the next thing. But because that's beyond our mental singularity, it's beyond what we should be able to comprehend. It looks like he's tripping balls. It looks like he's going through this
giant fetus on a tiny bed.
this aging process and then regressing, and that's what it gave him, and that's
well. There's the ones.
It's giving us images so that we can
the visual rebirth, but
be confused.
We don't know what's
as fuck
next
because
either.
We don't know.
We don't. His apish mind can't contain this information, so it's processing it into something it can't understand. Because there's a wind scene where the pod appears in the room, and he's sitting here with his in shock.
Right, so that's my interpretation. The point is, and like when they asked filmmakers about all the why don't people understand what the fuck's going on in your movie? It's like if you're not asking questions at the end of the movie, we did something wrong. That was what they want. They want people to take from that what they will. That's what I took from it.
There's a difference between asking questions and like being completely unclear.
And see, I never saw it as unclear because of the scene at the beginning of the movie. If the movie would have started in 2001 without showing us that the monolith did something, it pushed evolution in a way.
And it would be a hell of a lot more confusing movie.
For me.
Yes.
That's just the way I interpreted it though.
Because without that opening scene, my thought would be, in that second scene, which now is the opening scene, what is this thing they're talking about? Did it make them sick? Is it a virus? Did it kill them? And that's, without that opening scene, that's what I would have thought. I wouldn't have thought until they mention it later.
Me trying to connect those two events was almost impossible.
It's another being.
Me trying to connect those two events was almost impossible.
Which two events?
The opening scene with the monolith and the apes, and then him talking to those people in the hotel chain.
And they don't. They're not meant to. They're not meant to be connected.
Like, what?
What the apes and the monolith and
the
dawn of man and the TMA one,
and then it jumps straight to that guy in the space station hotel.
I didn't need a connection between those two moments. Like, I understand them giving us this little piece of information that doesn't directly relate to the very next moment. Like, I understand that.
This was so, like, unclear to me that until the very end of the movie, I thought that monolith from the beginning of the movie was from the moon that they were going to at Jupiter. I was like, oh, there was another civilization on the moon on Jupiter. I honestly thought that's what's going on because it's so fucking disconnected and unclear.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Like, I didn't
think it was Earth. I thought it was like,
oh, you didn't think that the intro was Earth?
No, I thought it was like this happened before somewhere else. Like,
that's what I thought too.
It's so not connected.
And there were a couple reasons for it. It didn't look like any Earth that I recognize. Like, the landscape didn't look right. And also, I recognized that they were apes, but because of the way they had to portray them as humans dressed as apes, it looked...
Neither.
Yeah.
In my mind, so it made me think that it was Planet of the Apes and
part.
So it made me think that this was like it was something similar to Earth, but not.
Yeah, this quite. Was, this is like Earth 0.1.
It is meant to be Earth, and I'm trying to look up because they say the type of the point in evolution is meant to be, but the problem that they ran into was that they couldn't show them the way they would have been for
they
real.
They didn't have Jim Henson.
No. If they had to show them far hairier than they were, than they would have been, because otherwise it would have been rated X.
All right.
Because dongs would have been hanging out.
Dongs.
I mean, monkeys have dongs anyway.
Yeah, but those were people. Those weren't monkeys.
I know.
Anyway. Can't see the people dongs.
Also, they kicked a boar for no reason. That was unsettling.
They didn't kick it.
Didn't they?
Oh, it wasn't a boar. It was a...
Paper.
Yeah.
That thing.
And it fell... That scene where it, like, falls to the ground where he's allegedly beating it...
Yeah.
...to death.
Not that part. There was another part where they just, like, kick one.
Aw, that's it's so
like,
mean.
It was, like, eating a plant or something.
That was all they knew to eat.
Yeah, but was now there a disclaimer they know they in the credits saying that no tapers were hurt in the making?
No, this was 1968.
This was way before that. That was a live taper that got dropped.
They probably picked that taper up and cooked it and gave it to the crew.
Probably had it from barbecue.
Tastes like chicken.
Barbecue.
I'm so surprised that this movie did as well as it did. In the 60s, being that it was about
evolution.
It took a long while.
I'm just surprised people weren't, like, outraged.
Oh, evolution?
Evolution wasn't that controversial.
No, evolution has become more controversial. Evolution was kind of settled in the 50s.
You're settled in the 50s.
What made this movie a success financially was the fact that there was a small group of people that kept going back and watching it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Hey, Alex, this will make you feel better. 19 minutes were cut to improve pacing.
No, 19 minutes. I need those back. We need to put those back in. And
that's
then...
cool. You only got to cut about 10 cut them times from. More.
I don't know. That's just.
It was probably just all black music playing at the beginning. Just like the completely black screen and random music fucking playing. And they're like, this is a little bit too long, guys.
Well, it was interesting that, again, they had the cold intro like
that. I'm gonna butcher this. Australopithecus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's what they were supposed to be. He couldn't find a way to photograph them in full length without getting an X rating, since they had to be naked. So they went with hairier design.
I don't know. I just think it's bad storytelling.
Wow.
This movie lost Best Makeup to Planet of the Apes. Because
maybe they should have gotten them.
And you know,
because
the
judges didn't realize that they were really humans. There's no nomination.
I was watching it, and in my mind, I'm comparing them to Planet of the Apes, going, "Man, this is like
the same
a
suit,
million times
same
better."
Same year.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
Though,
I didn't remember
the aging makeup was actually. I actually was really impressed with the aging makeup. I thought
the aging was good. I couldn't tell if they had aged him or if they had found older people who looked very similar.
They did age him. He had to spend 12 hours a day in in the makeup chair for for doing those scenes.
But I just... I just felt like there was a lot of not substance for how long the movie was.
I disagree.
I mean, I can't.
Like, I'm not gonna change your mind. You're not gonna change.
This is just
all matter opinion.
The opposite of Fury Road for me. Like Fury Road could be longer. I feel like because Fury Road made up a fucking religion. Like, there's a religion that was put into Fury Road. This movie has nothing so complex.
I can't agree with that. I just can't agree that.
Like, there were complex props. I understand that maybe there
and
were
I'm
some.
Not talking, I'm not talking about even the special effects or anything like that. I'm talking about the concepts that they introduced of having some extraterrestrial thing subtly manipulating the evolution of humanity.
Is that really that different? Because people thought God just created everything. Like, that's not really...
That's a pretty big concept. Yeah.
Have thought that for...
It's entirely different.
2,000 years ago, people thought
gods
were...
They're not claiming that aliens created life. They're claiming that they helped along the evolution of man.
They tweaked evolution. Oh. And...
Which, if you think about it, if we could go back in time, can't you think of things that we could do to just, like, nudge evolution along?
Are you suggesting no Trump?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, never mind. Why do we always come back here?
I don't know.
Well, the two big concepts here is you might want to consider is, are we alone in the universe, or is there somebody else out there?
Either we are not alone.
Yes, but it begs the question: where are they? But they're two big concepts either way. Either we're totally alone in the universe and we are the only life, or there is somebody else out there and they're watching over us.
Statistically, there's an exact copy of you somewhere in the universe that can be found with simple math equations.
Not me.
Yeah.
Nope.
Of all of us.
Nope. The story,
I'm pretty sure the other version of me has successfully worm-tongued you into believing that this is a fantastic movie.
No. So, that's in a different universe, not this universe. Yes.
So the whole thing is that this monolith changes Hal.
No, he doesn't change Hal.
Isn't that what you guys said? Like, it wasn't an error. It was.
It was an error.
I believe that. Because it's ambiguous and because there is no exposition to say otherwise, I believe that Hal was changed by the second monolith, not the third. So there's three monoliths that we're aware of. There's mm-hmm. the one at the beginning of the movie. Mm-hmm. There's the one on the moon. And then there's the one at Jupiter.
Right.
So the first monolith influences the apes. The second one sends the signal to the third one. But something also happens to Hal somewhere along the way. There is a breakdown in the AI.
But they also say, because they say that the twin Hal has also made errors.
No.
No, they say no. They never have.
They said that's
when... No, that's at the beginning. But then when that antenna was supposedly broken and Hal said it was broken and they went and got it. But he went and looked and there was nothing wrong with it. And then when they were talking to their headquarters... They said that they had found that...
The twin Hal said that Hal made an error.
Yeah, they didn't... They didn't come to the same conclusion.
Oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
They didn't come to the... Hal was lying.
Yeah, that's what I got from
Hal. Hal had evolved as an AI.
See, there's... I didn't think of it that way.
So, the question is, did the monolith influence Hal, or did our manipulation of the AI... influence.
So when that part failed,
man, that makes us even better.
That was a break in the conversation that Hal didn't want to continue. That's how I saw that.
Yeah.
What sucks to me is Hal seems to be the most interesting thing about this movie for me.
And Hal is one mm-hmm. of the. I mean, it's,
and I have to experience it through this dumbass's head who interacts with them. Like, if I was on the ship, I would just talk to Hal nonstop.
Should I sing Daisy Blue on the whole drive home?
Well, that's just it. They mentioned they tend to think of him as another member of the crew. They well, keep, they forget yeah. that he is the ship. They tend to think of
because
him very
one of
personally.
The questions is, does he experience emotion? And they're like, we're not sure, but we can't really answer that. It kind of seems like he does, but we can't really answer that.
Well, the Turing test was already established by then, so they should be able to tell.
Hal does experience emotion. He experiences fear.
Well, he also experiences jealousy and...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he... As far as we can tell, Hal experiences emotion. But, like... They don't dive into that enough, I feel like.
That and that's the conversation Adam wanted to have with you. I know that. I know that. That he wanted to talk about the AI...
There isn't enough for me to, like...
How many times do we have to talk about AI? Like, and Alex's theories on AI and Adam arguing with him about it, like...
Until there is bloodshed.
Until somebody gets knocked out the pod bay...
pod bay door.
Are you...
How was the most interesting part of this movie?
Yeah.
But then he just ends. Like, he isn't the main focus of this movie.
No.
Hal's story carries the second act, though.
But Hal's story, to me, doesn't seem related to any of the rest of it. Like, I'm supposed to infer that somehow the aliens are the ones who changed Hal, but there's nothing
I didn't
to
get
lead
that.
Me
and
to
it's,
believe
and
that.
It's, no,
I didn't either, but which
it's,
makes...
It's, it could be that, or it could be just that Hal has evolved. I mean, I look at it as that there is an evolution to Hal.
Mm-hmm.
However that happens. But because we've already seen the aliens before it and after it evolve the humans, why can't they evolve?
Here's why I disagree with you on that. I think if the aliens had evolved Hal, Hal would have just been like, oh, I just need to get this guy to the obelisk or whatever, right? I just need to get him to the monolith.
Mm-hmm.
But
and
he,
we're done.
He already knew they were soon to be turning him off because he read their lips. He knew that the other guy,
Dave and Frank, and
he knew that Frank especially was really unsure of Hal. When they went into that pod and turned off the mics, Hal read their lips and knew, because they said, if we find out that Hal made this mistake and makes another one, we need to shut him down. He knew he read their lips. He knew that. That was that whole next sequence of events.
Hal said, I can't allow you to jeopardize the mission.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But what was the mission that Hal was talking about?
That's the mystery.
Because
we're assuming the mission is to get to Jupiter, but we don't find out later that was only the cover story.
Yeah, I think if the monolith had told Hal, like had evolved Hal and been like, you need to get this guy here.
I didn't say that. My thought is not that the monolith influenced Hal to do anything. I think the monolith potentially evolved Hal to let Hal figure things out for himself. Kind of like how the monolith evolved the apes into, okay, you've got tools. What's the first fucking thing they did was they fucking attacked the other apes with them to run them out and kill things so they could eat the meat.
And also to fight off that other gang for the waterhole.
Was that the intent? Or was that was the side effect of the evolution, but the intent was to evolve them. And it did it, but what...
How much thought process was Australopithecus? How much of the thought process was put into them, possibly, by the monolith? Like, was it
all the monolith
just,
would have to do is give them the cognition to use tools. The rest of it is stuff that they're already programmed to want. They want food. They want to have this water hole. And they are a tribe. This other tribe is the other. So we're going to fight them for this water hole. It wasn't like...
The other tribe had already established themselves as other and bad.
Yes. Right. So is the monolith simply focusing him on those bones? Or is it putting more into the thought...
I don't think so.
No, I'm not.
Right.
I'm just.
In other words, what's the nature of the uplift that it's doing?
Exactly. Is it simply pointing him in a direction? Or
is it actually changing his cognition?
Exactly. And that's That is my question for that.
And also, that's the mystery that we're left with.
Exactly. What and I like the fact that there's really, unless there's something in the book that I don't know, it's not spelled out.
No, there's a lot of things that are not.
Nothing I am totally okay out. With that, and I like
you
it.
You have to infer them.
The gaps are too big.
There's too much.
There's absolutely no indication that the monolith evolved Hal, but it evolved everything else in the movie.
Right.
Apparently, we don't
so
know
it's
to
not
what extent.
To think that it didn't.
Sure, but I mean,
if Hal can think for himself,
this also could be Tony's. Yeah, you know, in Fight Club, how there was only two personalities. Yeah, you know what? She could have been the third personality too.
That would have made weird sex scenes.
Or is it just masturbation?
No, but like weird masturbation. Like unnatural masturbation.
Yeah, but he literally he fights himself.
I don't
himself.
Understand that.
And if Adam was here, he would go on at length about it.
Probably showing videos. He probably has
demonstrations.
Proof.
Yeah, I don't have his knowledge. I just have his cocky attitude right now.
You're not quite, you haven't been involved yet.
You look like you want to say something, Kayla.
I want to like this movie, but, like, no. And it isn't just because I want to watch Iron Man and things get blown up and, like, sex scenes. And
right.
It's too much of it is left up to you. Like, almost all of it is.
Maybe. I mean, honestly, the first two or three times I watched the movie, I didn't get it.
I didn't get it.
It took multiple watches. I knew I was fascinated by it. Hal kept bringing me back to the movie. But it took repeat viewings for me to piece things together for myself. Because it gives you nothing. It really doesn't.
Right, that's...
I just think their focal points were all wrong. Like, and you say, like, this is all new stuff back then, but, like, I don't feel like people today are, like, a lot smarter than people back then.
The science was new. The science and the space scenes were new. I don't think the concepts were necessarily new.
Like,
I mean, it was just a sci-fi story. And it's a sci-fi story that was based on a sci-fi story that was written years earlier. So it wasn't even a new story. It was based on a short story that Arthur Clarke wrote called The Sentinel.
See, that furthers my hypothesis that this was somebody's project and they're like, oh shit, we need to make this a 2.5-hour movie. Like, it just seems like...
Stand By Me was a short story.
It just seemed like their content... I don't know what that is. It just seemed like their content, like... It wasn't enough.
So like, Shawshank Redemption, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. That was a short story.
I haven't seen that either.
I'm surprised Adam has not tied you to a chair and made you watch
my
that
God,
one.
I've seen
honestly,
it like 50
honestly,
times.
I'm amazed at that.
I still haven't seen Big Trouble in Little China.
Nor have I, and but I would like to.
He still hasn't seen the original Ghostbusters.
That's true.
I finally saw Blade Runner.
Or Smokey and the Bandit.
That's just sad.
No, that's perfectly fine.
No, I don't really care to hear his commentary about Smokey the Bandit.
They went through 7 Trans Ams and then... Oh, just, oh.
No.
I can point him out if we watch the movie.
No, I don't want to ever.
Blues Brothers is better.
Blues Brothers is pretty fucking great.
Was that filmed in 1968?
No.
Nope.
What kind of music do you play here?
Both kinds. Country and Western. God, I love that movie.
I don't know.
I don't have much else to say.
So this is a 60-40 split?
I think so.
Yeah.
Adam should have been here.
I don't. Do you know if he liked it? Do you know what his thoughts?
I know,
recommended it.
He recommended it because he wanted to talk about AI with Alex. I honestly don't know where he would have come down on, mm-hmm. I honestly don't know where he would have come down. I really kind of am too.
Let's call him right now.
He's probably asleep.
I don't give up. Well, he won't be in 5 minutes. He doesn't have anywhere.
I think he's sick too.
Tomorrow morning.
He may still be putting together the bed. So
I communicate with Adam exclusively through Hangouts. So I don't think I actually have his phone number.
My phone's over there. I do have his phone number.
We'll text him.
Everyone text him at the same time. Boop, 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 boop.
Get him on Steam.
I do have his phone number.
You're just going to cold call him? You're not even going to...
Nice.
No.
Hold as ice, Ooh. Adam.
Declined.
Trying to sleep.
All right.
Well, an hour ago.
I just saw that picture. Fuck? I just.
Well, he answered my text.
This will be good.
What the fuck?
How's your vulva?
Tony, if there's not a Pokemon in your yard yet, I don't know if we can keep coming back.
Oh. Who's he? Is he talking to you? Or
I'm texting him in our Hangout right now. I said, we're at the podcast and everyone wants to know what you thought because we are extremely split.
We're split as even as 5 people can be.
I'm honestly not surprised at the split.
No, neither am I.
I wasn't sure where you, honestly, I wasn't sure where you were going to come down on it.
Who, me?
Yep.
I can understand that.
I just didn't know.
That's okay.
I figured Daryl would be a big thumbs up. I knew where I stood. You were my question mark. I thought the pacing would have been problematic.
I mean, literally, at one point, my tablet was like this. I'm like, I wanted to eat the movie.
He said, it's Kubrick. The man was a genius.
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
Hold on. Is that autocorrect? Is that autocorrect? Changing words?
Yeah, to super genius.
No, Adam, you are wrong.
No. All right. I also find it interesting that age is the... I don't know if that's...
I don't think it's age. I don't think it's age.
I really don't.
Okay.
And this was your first time watching it too?
Yeah, I actually thought had seen it.
That surprises me even more that you enjoyed it.
I thought I had seen it, and I thought...
Would have eaten it.
It was a comedy. Whoa. And then as we got into it, I was like, this is not...
It's not a comedy.
I mean, honestly, the only time I had a pause was at the beginning, wondering how long the black card was going to be.
Oh.
But that was it. It didn't upset me. I just wanted to know how long it was going to go.
Kubrick does better with a silent still shot than a lot of directors will ever do in their lifetimes.
Wow. Oh my God.
All right, so Adam's having a fucking director-gasm.
I am at this one.
So Adam's having a stroke.
So what did they shoot into him?
I don't know.
This may be the only time I say
was
this.
Was that shot they gave you earlier heroin?
I am madly in love with him right now. Just
what did they give you at urgent care?
He said heroin.
Oh, okay. That explains it.
Interesting little bit of trivia here. It said originally Stanley Kubrick wanted a legendary manga creator, Azuma Tezuka, to do some of the art direction after watching Astro Boy. However, Tezuka had to turn down the offer due to transportation issues from Japan to the UK. After the film's release, Tezuka told Kubrick that he loved the movie and listens to the film's soundtrack while making his work.
Wow.
That would have been interesting if he had actually been able to pull that off.
I'm out.
His bed's done. I'm an adult.
All right. So next week we're going to do Ghostbusters 2016, which I guess is really the best way we can call that.
Yeah.
Because they're both called the exact same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Hashtag love for Leslie.
We'll talk about that.
Yes, we will.
I might have calmed down enough.
Do we also want to have watched the original Ghostbusters for comparisons?
No,
I have.
I mean, who hasn't? Except for Adam.
I can probably quote most of it.
I'm not going to sit through the
It's been a while since I've seen the original. Mm-hmm. What did you say?
Whoa.
No, I didn't hear her.
It isn't that I didn't like the movie. It's that just that, especially after watching this one, I can't go back.
That's true.
Mm.
I
have a feeling this is going to be an interesting conversation.
So basically, at least I know what I'm doing on Sunday. I'm going to go see Ghostbusters.
I got to withhold statements. Or can I make a very big
no.
one?
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, do.
All right, let's go find some Pokemon.
Oh, Jesus, Lord. Good night.
See ya.
Night-night.